Praise God. I want you to open your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. And I want to... The Lord dealt with me today as I was seeking what to minister, and on boldness. And I want to talk about boldness tonight, and it's going to help us all, I guarantee that. But I was reading, when Linda was talking during prayer, I had my Bible, my paper Bible, and I opened my Bible to this passage right here. And this was not in my original notes, but I opened it up here, and God showed me something in this. And so I want to read, starting at verse 13. Of course, this is let's go ahead. This was when Jesus had been arrested and all those things took place in his life. And it says in verse 13, New King James Version, it says, "Then Pilate, when he had called," that's Luke 23, "Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and rulers and the people, said to them, 'You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people, and indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast.' And they all cried out at once, saying, 'Away with this man and release to us Barabbas,' who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them, but they shouted, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' Then he said to them the third time, 'Why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go.' But the Bible says in verse 23, 'But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified, and the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested.'" What stuck out to me, because I'm going to talk about boldness, and these individuals in verse 23 just leaped off the pages at me. It says, "But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified, and the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed." Their voices prevailed. Now, the whole purpose of the boldness today is about our speech and our talking. And the thing about it is, when I read this, you got to understand something. These men, they were demanding Jesus to be crucified, and their voices prevailed. In other words, what they were saying, what they were demanding, what they were declaring, what they wanted prevailed in this situation. You said, well, that's amazing. Here's why it's so amazing, because this was the will of God.
It was.
Was it not? Yeah. This was the will of God. I mean, Jesus came to be crucified. He had to be crucified as the plan and purpose of God. And they demand, basically we could put it like this now, and you say, basically we could say it later, they demanded the will of God be done. And their voices prevailed. I'm going to tell you, you got to have boldness. Let me give you a definition of boldness, or to be bold. It's to be confident, careless, trust, to make, to hope. The Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary says to be daring. It means to be courageous. It means to be brave, to be intrepid and fearless. And I'm telling you, you've got to be fearless. You've got to be bold in what you say. You know, we think sometimes, you know, I was actually thinking today, we're bold in certain things because we know it. Because we know it. We're certain of it. You can never, I was thinking about just our, if so, you walked up to somebody, you was going to meet somebody, you don't hesitate to say, I wouldn't hesitate to say, "My name is Randy Ayers." I do it fearlessly, courageously, and boldly. You know why? Because I know that's my name. I know that's my name. And so sometimes if we're not careful, we're to declare the Word of God, we don't really do it with boldness. We do it in kind of a sense of, I'm not real sure. I'm not real positive. Is there ever devil ever whisper in your ear, say, "You sure about that? You ever heard that statement? Are you sure about that?" And you say, I'm sure. Did you know if he keeps talking to you about it for long, you'll be thinking, well, maybe, well, am I sure about that? Am I sure about it? And it's like some people that walked up to a guy and they were just going to cut up with this guy. And it was a true story. And they went up to him and said, you sure look sick. He said, I ain't sick. I'm not sick. And every one of them, they had set this up. Every one of them kept saying, you sure look sick. You feeling all right today? He said, I'm feeling good. I'm healed. I'm good. And before it got through and everybody kept saying he looked sick and all, did you know he went home sick? Because it finally got to the point where he just received what they said other than what he believed or what he knew he was. He wasn't even sick. And so we've got to be bold at what we say and what we speak. And I want to read some scriptures that uses the word boldness in it and let you see some things here. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Psalms 138:3 says, in the day when I cried out, you answered me. And this is a New King James. In the day that I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. I want to look, if you will, to John chapter 7, St. John chapter 7. I got a lot of scriptures, so I won't be able to get to them probably all tonight. We'll start with verse 25. Now some of them from Jerusalem said, is this not he whom they seek to kill? Talking about Jesus. But look, he speaks boldly. And they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? Notice what they said about him. He speaks boldly. He speaks courageously. He speaks fearlessly. In other words, he knew that what he was saying was right. See, when you know what you're saying is right, you don't have any problem being bold about it. Amen? Now, listen to me. Boldness, in the way we talk, in the way we believe, boldness has to be also with kindness, and it has to be with love. Y'all know that. You can be bold and have the wrong attitude about it. So you have to have the right attitude about it. But I'm telling you, there's certain things we've just got to demand with our voices and stand our ground, because I promise you this, your voice will prevail. Can anybody help me a little bit? I mean, if their voices prevailed, your voice will prevail when you're declaring what God said. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Boldness. We need boldness. Sometimes we're just say, God, give me boldness. She's, I'm plenty bold. I tell you what, it wouldn't hurt the best for it to be a little bit bolder. Am I right? Courageous, daring, fearless. In verse 1, I love this story. Now, as they spoke to the people, this was after the lame man at the gate, beautiful, got healed. And it was such an uproar about it. In verse 1, it says in chapter 4, it says, as they spoke to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus a resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Thank God for soul winning. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Sounds like he had a little boldness, didn't it? Man, I tell you what, he was declaring the truth. This is a stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now listen to this, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter, what were they seeing? They were seeing how they were talking and what they were saying. Am I right? They saw the boldness, how they stood up and declared the truth to them and with fearlessness. And so they said, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived, I love this, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, but they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. There's something about being with Jesus that'll make you bold. Am I right? I mean, being with Jesus, you said, well, Jesus is with me everywhere I go. Listen to me, Jesus can be everywhere you go. First of all, He is, because He never leaves you nor forsake you. But I tell you, there's something about fellowship with Jesus that stirs something in you. That stirs something in you. We can all know, well, God's with me, He's in me, and He never leaves me. But bless God, there's something about fellowshipping with Him. There's something about reading His Word. There's something about praying that literally emboldens you and empowers you. And so they perceived that they had been with Jesus because they understood, listen, they are bold. There's a lot of boldness coming out of these guys right now. And I believe we really need to see boldness in the church now. I'm talking about just in our witness. You know, we can all say, I'm not ashamed of Jesus, but are we telling anybody? Can they see it? Can they hear it? Because God has to have a voice. Because in order for our voice to prevail, it has to come out. Amen? Praise God. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed there a notable miracle has been done through them, is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But also so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak no more in this name. What in the world? Let me tell you what the devil's after. He's after your speech. He's after your speech. He wants to stop you from speaking. He wants to stop you from speaking the truth. Listen, when we talk about boldness, we can talk about boldness in just declaring who Jesus is and being a witness, but declaring our healing, declaring our safety and our protection, declaring stuff like that over our lives. I mean, it's no big deal. We walk out on our porch all the time. Me and my wife will walk out there and we'll rebuke those storms. We'll stand and plead the blood of Jesus over our home and believe it. We boldly speak to those storms. We boldly speak to the devil. We boldly speak to sickness and disease. We boldly speak to it. Why? Because the devil, if he can stop our speech and stop us from being bold about it, he can pretty well have his way. But he ain't going to have his way when he cannot stop your speech. Mark Hankin says, if you don't speak up, you'll lose by default. In other words, if you don't say nothing. But you got to boldly say it. You know, don't ever walk out in a situation and say, I'm going to try this. Because you walk out and say, I'm going to try this, you've already considered, well, it might work and it might not. Huh? See, the devil don't want you sure. Is anybody in church this afternoon? He don't want you sure. He don't want you confident. He don't want you fearless. He don't want you knowing that what you're saying is the truth. And the one thing about Peter and John, they knew what they said was the truth. And bless God, when they did it with boldness. It says, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. I like their answer. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Ought not that be the way we are? We ought not but speak the things which we've seen and heard. Have we seen anything? Have we heard anything? Oh, I'm telling you what, they were saying, we got to shut their mouth, and here's how we're going to do it. They let them know where they're going. You're not going to shut our mouths. Because we're going to talk about what Jesus has done. We're going to talk about who He is, and you can't shut us up. Isn't that good? He says, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. The man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Now listen to what it says. Now being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you're God. You who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. You know what they understood about this? Was they're coming against God. They're coming against the things of God. And they understood this. Listen, we went to our own companions and we told them what they told us. They told us, no more shall you mention the name of Jesus. You shall not preach in this name. You shall not do anything in the name of Jesus. And they didn't run and say, well, you know, I guess we're going to have to listen to them. I guess we're going to have to obey. And we're kind of in a situation in the United States now, in a sense, in that same way. I mean, they don't want you to declare anything about God, anything about Jesus. They're trying to get rid of everything about it. And I'm telling you, the devil is trying to silence the church. Am I right? He would like to silence us. Why? Because if there's no voice, there's no reaction from God. And so they got together. They got to with a bunch of people like we are right here tonight. I guarantee we could get together if they told us that. And we said, well, you know, they told us that we couldn't preach no more at Word of Life Family Worship Center, and we're going to have to close the doors. We can't come back in here. I guarantee next Sunday we'd have the biggest crowd in town. Am I right? Because we come together because we're going to be bold about what we believe. We're going to believe. I had somebody tell me, if they told you you couldn't preach something, you preached it and they took you to jail, they're going to have to take me with you. They're going to have to take me with you. Well, how many would go to jail with me if I had to do that? Some of y'all say, I don't know, my job. You know, the thing about it is, they got together with a bunch of people that felt like they did. It is. It sure is. Of course, the person that said that's not here no more. But the thing about it is, so he wouldn't know if I went to jail unless somebody put it on Facebook. Maybe they could show up and go with me. But I'm not going to jail, by the way. But the thing about it is they were threatened not to do this, but they were bold. Here's the deal. They were bold. And it said, verse 27, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles and the people of Israel have gathered together against Christ, against Jesus, to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats. And grant, listen to what they said, and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. Not silence us, that make us louder, to have a louder voice. Come on now. Wasn't it their loud voices, the demanding of the high priests and chief priests and the people over Barabbas and the crucifixion of Jesus? Isn't that what they said the Bible said prevailed? Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, he said, listen to me, we don't want to get quieter, we're going to get louder. I'm telling you, we don't have nothing but a platform to declare who Jesus is. We know we got the devil nervous. We know he's on the run because he wants us to shut up. If we wasn't having an impact, they wouldn't be trying to tell us to shut up. They wouldn't be trying to tell us to quit. I'm telling you, you start making the devil nervous when you start talking about God, talking about Jesus and the promises. You can make the devil nervous if you're just talking about the promises at home. He'll try to shut you up at your house. It don't have to be in the public. Am I right? You're sitting there trying to declare what the Word of God says, boldly declare it. Next thing you know, the devil's saying, that ain't going to work for you. Who do you think you are? You know, you're to get louder. Has anybody ever got loud in your house and it's just you? Is anybody besides me? Just want to go out and get a little loud and holler a little bit? You said, does it do any good to holler? It might not do any good to holler, but it makes you feel better. Huh? Come on now. You can whisper the word and have just as much power as if you holler the word. Amen? That's not the issue. The issue is you can't let the devil silence you. You can't let circumstances silence you. You can't let people silence you. You've got to be willing to say, I am not giving up. I am not giving in. I'm going to have boldness of speech and I'm going to speak the truth no matter what the circumstances look like. Huh? You know, people's always going to look at you crazy. Or a lot of people are. It says, so they had boldness. Here's what they asked for. Now, Peter and John had it, right? Because they saw their boldness. And so they all said this, and all these people together, They said, God, grant your servants that we may speak your word boldly. That's what they were saying. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And listen to what it said. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. I mean, when they left that place, listen, did you know the devil's not that smart? Do you know he's kind of stupid? I mean, he's dealing with two of them. Of course, there was a lot of them out there. But when they all got together, they all went out and spoke the word boldly, laying hands on people, healing, and all kinds of things were taking place through the power of God. Because I'm telling you, when the devil starts threatening you, you are there to make you that much bolder. Am I right? Look at Acts 9. Acts chapter 9. Let's go to verse 26. It said, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly. He had preached what? Boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Troas. But here's what he did. He spoke the word. Well, how did he do it?
Boldly.
He spoke the word boldly. There's something about bold utterance that's going to make the difference in our lives. Amen? Look at Acts 13. Acts 13. Let's go all the way to 46. It says, then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary. Here's what I want you to connect all this boldness with, was what they said. The speech. Their talk. When Barnabas and Paul grew bold and said, they grew bold and said, we need to grow bold. Amen. We must, listen, boldness must obviously be a growth process also. Because they grew bold. Isn't that what it says? They grew bold. And said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Listen. They said, okay, what's the boldness is when you tell people the truth. Did you know can I say this? We need to tell people the truth. I'm talking about the truth. Because so many people don't know the truth. Have you ever talked to somebody that they got a wacky idea? And they said, well, what do you think about it? Has anybody ever asked you that? What do you think about it? Well, I don't know. I guess that's all right. I guess it's all right. What about telling them the truth? Why not just tell them the truth boldly? At that moment, you can grow bold. Huh? Grow bold. You say, I'm going to try. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to tell them the truth. Well, what can they do? They're not going to kill you. They're not going to stone you. They're not going to beat you up, I don't guess. But the thing about it is, you just got to be bold about it. You say, well, they don't understand. Listen, I have found this out, Brenda. People's bold to tell me what they believe. Y'all know that? They're bold to tell you what they believe. Why can't we be bold to tell them what we believe? Huh? I mean, we're to be bolder than they are. If they're bold enough to tell us what's not true, we surely should be bold enough to tell them what is true.
Amen.
Amen? Because it's going to help them more than anything else. You say, well, what if they reject it? They heard it, though. I said, they heard it, though. The apostles' whole thing they wanted to do was, Paul said this, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they be saved. But Paul's number one goal is that nobody went to hell, that nobody was lost. So he knew this, if I'm going to be that way, I've got to be bold to tell them the truth, and I've got to tell them when they're wrong, even in a loving way. Listen, it's not wrong. Let me say, it's not wrong to tell somebody when they're wrong. If you do it in the right heart and the right attitude, listen, you can do something in the right way and the right attitude and the right motive, and I'm telling you, it'll have more impact. I mean, even if they say, I don't believe that, I can guarantee this much, they're going to be thinking about it when they leave. They may even wake up at night with the Holy Ghost speaking that into their hearts. Say, my God, and they may come up to you later and say, you know, I just can't stop thinking about what you told me. Man, that's been, most of them probably said, that's been bugging me. That's been bothering me. Well, it's convicting them. Huh? The one thing about these apostles, the one thing about these disciples in the book of Acts, they told them the truth, even though it might have meant imprisonment, even though it meant might being beat, and all those things. They told them the truth anyway. Why? Because they knew the truth was important to them, and it was important to them to tell it. Hallelujah. Where are we at? Look in 14. Just jump right across the page. Verse 1 says, now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke, and that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude, both the Jews and the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore, they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of His grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. I mean, they were stirring up. Contention was flying everywhere. People were mad and everything else, but they just kept boldly speaking the word of God and telling people the truth. And when they started, when they kept, listen to what it says, when they did that, then, they started seeing signs and wonders being done. See, God will back up His Word. I said, He'll back up His Word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're growing bold. We're growing bold. Everybody shout, I'm growing bold. I'm out of time, actually. Let's go to another one, 19. Chapter 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. And he went and did what? He did what? Spoke boldly. Who was this, Paul? He spoke boldly. Did you know boldness? A person that's bold is a person that they see that believes what they're saying. When you speak boldly and fearlessly and courageously, they see somebody that believes what they're saying. You got to believe what you're saying. Amen. When it gets down in you, listen, let me say this, and I'm just going to have to quit. But when it becomes real to you, your speech will portray it. When it becomes real to you, your speech will portray it. And that's what people's looking for. They're looking for something real. They're looking for something real that's to you. Huh? God wants to show up, show out. He wants to reveal Himself in great and mighty ways. And I'm telling you, when reading the scripture here, let me read it again. He went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Did you know all these people in the synagogues, these chief priests and stuff like that, they were completely messed up. They were messed up. You know, and here the thing about it is, he stayed for 3 months, Lynn, talking to them boldly about Jesus, the Word of God. You know, I seen something the other day at Baylor University, and it was about, LGBT, the homosexual and gay things, and they had it on news the other day that it was some lesbians that they wanted to come together, and they wanted to be able to wear their shirts to promote their group or their deal. And because here's what they said on the news. It said because they interpret the scriptures differently. They interpret the scriptures differently. I'm telling you, the Word says what it says. I mean, it's pretty bluntly and plain about it, which I don't think Baylor's going to give into it. But the thing about it is, you got to be careful with when somebody coming up to you and saying, this is how I interpret it. Well, you need to look at them and say, well, I'm going to tell you how the Bible interprets it. And this is how God says. Come on, can we be bold? Just be bold about it. Be bold. Be lovingly bold. Can I put it that way? Put that in there. Be lovingly bold. Maria must be, God must be dealing with Maria. She's bold. God's about to put a holy boldness on you, girl. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Second Corinthians 3:12 says this, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. 2 Corinthians 7:4 says, great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Did you know when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, they were the corrupt place. I mean, there was a lot of terrible things going on in Corinth, and he would boldly declare the truth to them, and he turned them people around and turned Corinth around because he was bold about it. He didn't go in there and say, well, you know, I would like to say this, or if you would please hear me or something like that. He boldly started telling, he literally come down on them about different things that was going on in Corinth. Why? It wasn't to hurt them, it was to help them. The truth never hurts. It always brings help. Am I right? Can I go to one more? Ephesians. I'm going to let y'all go. I'm just too into it at this moment. Verse 18. 6. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, pray for me. Paul writing to Ephesians, he said, and pray for me that utterance may be given to me and that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I mean, Paul did not want to pull back on speaking the truth boldly. He said, think about this a minute. Can we pray for ourselves for boldness? We ought to could. We are just this group right here. We're just praying for Word of Life Family Worship Center to be bold, that they'll speak the word boldly. And that we are a bold church to claim the truth. I'm telling you, that people will know the truth and the truth will make them free. So he said, I want you to pray that I may open my mouth boldly. You know, we're to do that when we get up in the morning. Say, God, I pray that I open my mouth boldly to declare the truth of the gospel today to anybody that you lead me to and put in my path, that I will share the love of God with them. Amen. I'm telling you, we got to be bold about it. I only have 3 more scriptures if y'all let me finish real quick. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 2. Verse 1. It says, for you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. He was imprisoned in Philippi. And so he said, listen, I want to be able to speak boldly to you, declare the gospel boldly to you. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, we have to come before God boldly. We have to present God to people boldly. And I'm telling you, it begins to change people's hearts and change people's lives. Not only that, it does a lot for us. Amen. Let's look at Hebrews, my last scriptures. Hebrews 13:5. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Hallelujah. The fear of man is not going to produce the righteousness of God. But I'm telling you, we need to be bold, courageous, fearless. And I'm telling you, you'd be surprised at how many people want to hear the truth, actually. Amen. Praise God. Isn't God good? Well, I hope you got something out of this tonight. Praise God. I tell you, we're gonna be bold. I'm just going to start making that a prayer as a pastor prayer over our church and over ourselves, you know, because we can all grow in boldness and get bolder, right? Praise God. Have you ever left somebody and said, I wish I'd have said this to them? We've all been there. I wish I'd have said that. I wish I'd have told them that. Well, something prompted you. And most times I leave and said, I don't know why that didn't come up when I was talking to him. I didn't know if you ever said, I don't know why I didn't think of that when I was talking to him. My gosh, that was so good. And I thought about it when I left. Well, praise God. We're going to think about those good thoughts coming up while we're in the presence. And I don't believe it's not God wants us bold in speech just to people and stuff, but at circumstances and situations. To be bold in speech. Speak to different things and say, I command you in Jesus' name to change or something like that. Or whatever the situation may be, sickness and disease, speak to it. Boldly declare it. Amen. Praise God.